All right, Ty and Dan, we are back here. The Harbor Mist Hotel, as I'm calling it. I know that's not the name, but whatever. We're joined by Pete Sampson, a gentleman we've had on the program before to talk about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Yes.
Let me ask the question everyone wants to know, Pete. What kind of impact will Michael Floyd have on this football game?
I've been asked the question before, believe it or not, in the last couple of weeks, and I don't even think he'll show up.
How do you answer a question?
It's going to be a no-show on Monday night. No impact.
What kind of questions that you've received have amused Michael, you the most?
Michael Floyd was the best because the guy really wanted to know how he was going to match up with Alabama.
Big issue.
Right, no, it's huge.
And then, Chip Kelly's coaching job at Notre Dame, how he's done this year, that's been important. I mean, it really knocks down Everson Golson on the list of hilarious questions I've been asked. So, yeah, Floyd, clear. That's number one with the bullet.
Nice.
Speaking of the quarterback situation, we had Brian Fisher on just before you and talked broadly about this game, but I'd imagine you're the one to ask, what was it like for Tommy Rees at Media Day? What kinds of questions did he receive, and how did he handle it? Because it's kind of like a weird spot for him, I'd imagine, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of sitting there. I did not spend any time on Tommy Rees today. I spent time talking to Andrew Hendricks and Gunnar Kiel and Everett Golson, so I skipped right over Rees. But, he's been pretty classy about the whole thing this season. I mean, he's probably handling it a lot better than most college kids would, and I give him a lot of credit for being ready when Everett Golson's helmet flies off or Everett Golson gets suspended for the first couple plays of the game or Everett Golson kind of gets banged up or knocked out or isn't doing his job. I mean, I've said this before. Notre Dame would not be here without Tommy Rees, but they also wouldn't be here with just Tommy Rees. So I think Notre Dame fans who have been clamoring to see Everett Golson, I totally understand that, and clearly Brian Kelly made the right decision, but he also made the right decision to keep Tommy Rees on the hook and engage in the program because they would not be here without him.
How do you, when you look at Notre Dame's offense, I think there were some consistency issues this season. When you look at what Alabama's been able to do defensively, where do you think Alabama has the best, or what do you think Notre Dame, excuse me, has the best chance of succeeding offensively? What matchup is the most advantageous, and where is the talent the greatest as it relates to what Alabama does defensively?
I think for me, it's in the pass game, but specifically rolling out Everett Golson and having him get to the edge and have more simple high-low reads, taking shots deep. I don't expect Notre Dame to try to throw over the middle a whole lot on Monday night because that's more than I think Everett Golson can read in a millisecond. But I think getting him to the outside, freezing Alabama's linebackers where the threat of him running is there, that's where I think Notre Dame can move the ball and take some shots deep. And I do not think Notre Dame has a chance to win this game if they don't push the ball vertically, even gambling a little bit, forcing the ball down the field, whether that be to Tyler Eifert, T.J. Jones, DeVaris Daniels, I don't know. But I think they have to take some shots deep to have a chance to move the ball. I just don't see Notre Dame being able to really line up, be conservative, run between the tackles, which they've had some success this year doing. I just don't think Alabama's defense is going to allow Notre Dame to do that.
What is the game plan if you were looking at Notre Dame from an opposing coach's standpoint? What's the game plan against Notre Dame that you think would have the best success to beat, mind you, the number one team in the country, undefeated? What does that look?
I would load up the box and force Everett Golson to throw it. I think Notre Dame's good enough to run the ball with some success on Monday night, but I don't think they're going to run for 150, 175 yards on Alabama. I think Notre Dame has to be creative in what they do. When I went out to practice on Friday, you saw them working some unbalanced lines, which they haven't really done all year. So you take your right tackle and move him essentially to a tight end left of your left tackle. You'd split Tyler Eifert out wide, which they did on Friday a little bit. I think that they're really going to have to get creative with Tyler Eifert to get him the ball, to force Alabama either to double cover him or they're going to force the ball to him. I think that putting him off to one side of the field and then leaving everything else in single coverage, that's a matchup that I think Notre Dame can create, and Tyler Eifert's good enough to force Alabama to adjust what they do schematically.
Interesting.
Who is the best player in this game? Is it Manti Te'o? Is it Barrett Jones? Is it, if you're picking one guy that stands out to you above the rest, a power ranking, Pete Sampson power ranking, Who is the best player that will be on the field on Monday?
I put Manti number one. And I think you'd have to put Barrett Jones number two based on, I mean, he won, what, Outland is the best tackle. A year later, he's the best center. But after that, I think you get into Tuitt and Nix for Notre Dame. And I think that, you know, look, it's a national title game. We've beat every storyline to death at this point. But I think Nix and Tuitt, that combination, if you haven't watched a lot of Notre Dame this year, you probably don't have an appreciation for how good those guys can be. And the fact that Notre Dame has at least three guys in their front seven that would start at Alabama, which at the start of the year, I don't think anybody would have sat there and said, you know, that's even a possibility that Notre Dame could be that talented up front defensively.
Absolutely. On that defensive line, there are names that most of the college football watching universe, the average fan at home, may not have paid much attention to. Lewis Nix, Stephon Tuitt. You mentioned these guys. We know them because we follow it so closely. But of those guys, who is it that you think people need to know more about? People haven't paid enough attention to one of those guys along the front. Who is going to be really good on Sundays?
Probably Nix would be the guy that people don't pay enough attention to. I think you could make the argument that Tuitt defensively is the most talented player that Notre Dame has, including Manti Te'o, over the long haul NFL prospects. I mean, if you haven't seen his fumble return against Navy, Google it, because it's completely ridiculous that a guy would run away from a quarterback and a running back, albeit on the Naval Academy, for a 77-yard touchdown. I mean, talked to his high school teammates, and there was his senior year, he went into the weight room and he had a 10th grader sit on each side of the bench press bar, and he was working out that way. He was bench pressing two 10th graders.
Nice.
So,
which we've all been there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, as the 10th grader.
Yeah.
That's out of like an 80s bully movie right there, right?
Yeah. But
it's weird science. Yeah.
But Nick's not only the matchup with Barrett Jones coming off the foot injury, I doubt that he's going to be 100% strength-wise. If Notre Dame can control that matchup, Chance Warmack has to double down a little bit. Manti Te'o has another second to react and read and doesn't have a 320-pound guard in his face at the snap of the ball. That's where I think Notre Dame can win the game. I think Lewis Nix has to be outstanding. I think he's a guy that will be an All-American next year. From what I've been told, talking to people that know him, I mean, he submitted his paperwork to the NFL. He's coming back. But he's basically would have been a late first-round pick this year. I mean, this is another NFL-type guy on Notre Dame's offensive line. And I think we get so swept up in Te'o and Tuitt just because Tuitt's 6'6", 305 pounds, and runs like a receiver that, you know, Lewis Nix probably doesn't get the attention that he deserves, but he's going to be huge on Monday.
Yeah. When you look at the rosters, obviously football's a violent game. Injuries happen. Or, you know, just terrible play happens sometimes. Where can Notre Dame most afford to rotate in guys for any sort of reason? And where are they the thinnest? And where would panic strike the easiest?
Well, if Golson struggles, Notre Dame does not have a chance to win the game.
Okay.
And I think that's because Reese is just not mobile enough to buy you extra time. Their receiver position is not great, but they have some guys that they can shuffle in and out. They have, I think, probably better depth on the defensive line than people realize. Sheldon Day, Tony Springman, a couple younger guys. In the secondary, they're very thin.
Right.
I think that's where if they lose a safety, if Zeke Mata goes down in this game, they are going to have a real hard time doing much of anything defensively, because this is a guy with NFL size who can support the run, athletic at the back end, calls out the defense. Not somebody who's gotten a lot of attention this year, but has played at a very high level. So I would say the secondary is probably where they at least can afford it. And honestly, offensive line, they've been decimated by injuries to their second teamers. These are guys that don't play, and we don't talk about them at all, but they've lost three second-team offensive linemen for the year in the course of the last 2 months.
Right.
They're basically playing walk-ons at those positions right now. If they lose a center, well, if they lose anybody on their first-team offensive line, they're going to have a really hard time being functional offensively.
Okay.
What's the let me rephrase that. Let's say Everett Golson comes out on Monday and struggles mightily. Notre Dame loses the game in horrible fashion. I hope that doesn't happen, but it could.
It could, yeah.
What happens to Notre Dame's quarterback position moving forward? Because they have some talent behind him. They're bringing in Malik Zaire, who I love, probably too much. But they've got Gunnar Kiel. What happens? Is that position open? Can someone else come in there and take it from Golson?
Especially with how Brian Kelly is how much he's willing to shuffle quarterbacks yes. right out and just but find the solution. Yeah.
What is the long-term plan there? What happens?
I think it would be open in spring if that happened. I think Brian Kelly will say it's open in spring, even if Notre Dame wins the game and Golson plays well. I don't think you could go to Gunnar Kiel and say, hey, sorry, you have no chance to play. Malik Zaire will be with the team in spring ball. He's an early enrollee. I think, you know, if you're Andrew Hendricks, I talked to him today at Media Day. He says, you know, hey, look, it's a log jam here. I'm going to have to evaluate my options.
Right.
Tommy Reese is going to stick around. He's just got a year left. And then he can, you know, move on after that. But I think Everett Golson, Kelly sees him as a long-term solution here. And considering everything he stuck with him through this year, mm-hmm. completely melting down against Michigan, getting knocked out of the Stanford game, struggling against Pittsburgh, then coming back and playing well in the fourth quarter. I don't think – it's hard for me to imagine a scenario on Monday night where he would play so poorly
sure.
that he would be out of the mix entirely. But I also don't think there's a situation where he could play so well that Gunnar Kiel is at least not going to have an opportunity in the spring.
So let's talk long term, and this is something we talked about with Brian just before speaking with you. Notre Dame is recruiting very well. Notre Dame has found themselves to be the number one team in the country with an undefeated record. Long term, how do you project Brian Kelly's ability to maybe not sustain being the number one team in the country, but a top five team perennially playing for a national championship, obviously including the reformatting of the postseason?
It's a great question because the last time he was anywhere for a fourth year, he was at Grand Valley State. it's been a long time.
Yep.
They've recruited so well defensively in the front seven that I think Notre Dame is back to being consistently really good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they're going to get a run like Alabama.
Right.
I don't think they're going to go 11-1, 12-0, play for three titles in 4 years.
Sure.
But I think at this point, the floor for Notre Dame seasons are going to be more like 9-3 and a lot less like 7-5.
Right.
I think Notre Dame is going to go into November's consistently at least being in the discussion for the playoff.
Right.
I think they should be good next year. And if they're recruiting and developing guys as well as they have the last 3 years, I don't think the program's going to go away. I don't think this is a one-year type situation. I just think the foundation of the program is a heck of a lot stronger than it was with Charlie Weiss, really, at any point.
Yep.
Certainly under Tyrone Willingham at any point, and Bob Davey at any point. So you got a head coach with a system, great coaching staff. Bob Diaco, Chuck Martin have done outstanding work as both coordinators. So I think kind of 9-10 wins is going to be a regular occurrence for Notre Dame. I don't think they're going to go away.
What type of coaching or assistant coaching hirer? That's not a word, Ty.
It's close.
What type of administrative hirer of assistants do you think Brian Kelly will be? He's been lucky to have a lot of consistency there. Of course, Bob Diaco following him from Cincinnati. What type of guy in the interview room do you think he will eventually have to be?
To hire new assistants?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen, you know, as recently as Gene Chizik, trying to continue the success of Auburn and making a couple of hires that just did not fit yeah. Auburn, did not fit their scheme, did not fit their culture, and ultimately helped lead to his demise. So obviously this is a very important thing, and attrition has affected dynasties. We saw USC, this sort of thing. So that's going to be crucial, it seems. So where do you evaluate his future responsibilities there?
So far, so good. You know, this year has been encouraging, the fact that their offense coordinator left
mm-hmm.
last year. They hired a new offensive line coach, new running backs coach. They moved Chuck Martin from safeties to offensive coordinator,
right.
hired a new safeties coach. I think as long as Kelly is there and Diaco is there, they're going to have systems in place that they can just kind of build off, you know, what they already have. They're not only in recruiting, but playbook, you know, teaching, all that stuff.
Right.
And you've seen when they hired Bob Elliott from Iowa State, he had worked with Diaco at Iowa, Kansas State. There was a little bit of a connection there. And I think as long as if Chuck Martin is there as an offensive coordinator, and he won't be there forever, and Diaco won't be there forever.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of Kelly's DNA in Martin at this point. I think if you're a program and you're looking to hire the next Brian Kelly, hire Chuck Martin.
Yeah,
I think he would be an outstanding head coach at the Division I level. He did it at Grand Valley, won at a higher rate than Brian Kelly did. So, I think that Kelly has an idea of what he wants an assistant. I think he's been around coaching long enough that he has guys in mind.
Sure.
He's got short lists. Jeff Quinn, the head coach at Buffalo,
mm-hmm.
Was a Kelly guy. So I think there are enough guys out there that he's confident that you know, he's got a system in place and knows how to hire coaches to fit it.
When we talked earlier this season, one of the aspects of Brian Kelly's coaching job this season that you were most impressed with was his in-season player development. Which guys do you look at and say, maybe let's say outside Everett Golson, because we know he's improved, but what guys with not as high a profile have you seen day-to-day just get so much better from start to finish of this season that maybe you would point to as a success for Brian Kelly?
Yeah, I mean, Matthias Farley, Danny Spond, Kavari Russell, those are the three guys that jump out to me. I mean, Russell's the first freshman corner to start a season opener in Notre Dame history. Started all 12 games, played really well. Kind of held his own against Marquise Lee.
Yeah,
I mean,
at least
he knew to literally hold Marquise
he
Lee
knew.
When necessary. Matthias Farley was a receiver a year ago, three-star recruit. He was a guy, when I watched his senior tape, I'm like, man, this is a reach. He was not somebody I looked at and said, he's going to be much more than a special teams guy. He's played really well since Jamora Slaughter went down against Michigan State. Danny Spond, a guy who hadn't played a whole lot of outside linebacker, had migraines that they diagnosed potentially as a stroke. He was in the hospital during training camp, sat out the first two games. Another guy you didn't think you're going to see a whole lot from this year. He's been outstanding, setting the edge. He's had an interception. He's played really well all year. So there are a lot of guys. I mean, this is probably the biggest change from Weiss and Willingham to Kelly. You see players get better as the season goes on.
Yep.
And I'm not just talking about five-star recruits. And I think if you're Notre Dame, that's where one of the things you're most encouraged about is you're taking these four and five-star guys and developing them opposed to just recruiting them and then you don't feel like they're improving during the course of their 3, 4, or 5 years here.
Taking a step back, you are very much in the weeds with Notre Dame. You follow them day to day. You do great work at irishillustrated.com. You come down here to Miami and all of a sudden there is this cavalry of national media. You can't.
You love that word. I love
I do.
That
I've been,
you love that word.
I've been
it's a
going,
great
I
word.
Wrote. I wrote an article. I used cavalry.
I loved it. Last in the Tom Rinaldi thing.
In the Rinaldi thing,
cavalry.
I used cavalry. It's just
word.
it. I don't know. It's what I'm going for.
On horseback.
For. It does it bother you? Does it annoy you? Does it make your job more difficult that you have to deal with all these other people coming
we're other
in?
Other people.
Well, we are, yeah. But he seems to like us.
It makes your job more difficult.
Yes.
You know, when you're trying to talk to Brian Kelly at Media Day and you got to nudge somebody out who wants to ask a question about staying hydrated and if Brian Kelly would like a Gatorade, you know, at that point you're like, you know, can we just talk about football?
By the way, we would probably be the ones asking
that type of question. So I'm happy we did not go to Media Day today.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just I'm blown away by how much media is here.
Right.
You know, there are press conferences earlier in the week at the hotel where you basically couldn't get a question in. A lot of media want to talk about the history of the rivalry, and a lot of the players are just like, I don't know anything about what happened in the 70s.
Nice.
So it's media day was good today. Players are more spread out. Everyone's available. You can actually talk to people one-on-one opposed to one-on-20. Yeah, look, this was supposed to, I think, was billed as it's going to be the most watched cable program of all time or something. It's going to be certainly
it's
the
most
the new covered MASH. Cable program of all time,
sure.
Based on the media here.
Unbelievable. Well, what shocked you? Anything since you've been down here? Storylines have been so recycled, and quotes, I think, are
I would say the aggressiveness of TV cameramen has
okay.
shocked me.
Oh, yes.
We've heard rumors.
Elbows have been thrown. People have been shoved. Fingers have been pointed. I believe that a reporter actually he put his hand on a TV man's camera, and that to this TV guy he said that means you want to fight. Means you actually want to fight
that's
me
like
right
a,
now.
It's being slapped with a glove. It's the
did
eye any, challenge.
Did anyone use the phrase "stepping to me, Snoop Dogg"? Did we hear that?
I have not heard that yet.
Okay,
but I mean, there's been so many near fisticuffs between TV cameramen that maybe it was said, and I have not been an earshot of it when it went down, but.
Yeah.
That's clearly, I mean, the most shocking thing, hostility among the media.
Yeah. It's, maybe more
palpable.
So than on the field.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right. Well, what's your prediction for the game?
You're going to put me on the spot here. I haven't thought this out.
We've been asking you Notre Dame questions for a half hour. I don't know if this is on the spot.
Yeah. That's a fair point. I think Alabama will win a close game.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a really good game, though. So I'm thinking like 2017, you know, maybe even a 2016. If Notre Dame wins, they're going to have to basically be perfect in the red zone, which they almost have never done all year.
Right.
I think that's the biggest stat for Notre Dame. If they win, you'll look at their red zone touchdowns, and they'll be 3-for-3 instead of 2-for-3 or 1-for-4. I don't know. I feel like Alabama's big game experience eventually will make a big enough difference to get them over the top at the end. And look, they're really, really talented. The only game they lost was Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, and they were -3 in turnovers.
Yeah.
Notre Dame doesn't have a Heisman Trophy winner. So if they get to the -3, then they've got a real chance to win. But I just think Alabama's a little bit better, so I think they'll win by a pretty small margin on Monday night.
So national champions then with the point spread.
Yes.
With the point spread there.
Gambling national champs.
The gambling national champions.
Sure. I mean, recruiting national champs, gambling national champs, number one in graduation rate. I mean, what more do you want?
First Notre Dame.
That's how you get recruits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's big time.
All right. Pete Sampson, IrishIllustrated.com. Do we got anything else? I mean, my brain is pulsating from all this Irish stuff.
What's the best thing you've eaten since you got here? There's an on-the-spot
question. Important
question. Yeah.
There's a good Mexican place down the street from this hotel called Dos Caminos.
I've heard good things.
Good things. Other than that, I mean,
what
I heard you mentioning
order?
The buffet. I've worked through all the buffets here.
So what was your order at Dos Caminos?
Oh, I had a carnitas pork taco.
Nice.
The guacamole was really good.
Rock solid.
He's a guac guy.
I'm a big guac guy.
Yeah.
It's worth checking out.
I'm glad to hear it. Irish Illustrated, eating well.
IrishIllustrated.com, Pete Sampson. Thanks again for stopping
by. Thanks for having me.